everybody. Welcome to season 3 of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and get ready for a spine-tingling time. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Boom, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And today we are here. Last week we decided we did Tombstone. And looking through Tombstone, I felt like that we didn't do one location justice like we should have. We are going to do the Birdcage Theater as its own location this week, because I was looking back at some of my notes and I'm just like, this place is absolutely chock full of ghosts.
Yeah, there is quite a history here. And even just being its own building, its own location per se, like he just said, there is a lot that has happened there, and it has a lot of history, and it's got a very diverse history for sure.
But before we jump into this location though, we do have a little bit of stuff we're going to talk about first. We've decided we're going to move all of our social media stuff to the end of the show so we can get to the meat of things sooner.
Yeah.
But there is one thing I do want to talk about at first, and this is a charity organization that I am working with. As you all know, I am part of a group called the Smoky Mountain Ghostbusters. At least twice a year, we try to do fundraisers or a drive to get items that places need. Like at Christmas time, we do a toy drive for a local children's hospital. So the kids at the hospital, when they wake up on Christmas morning, will have some gifts there at the hospital. And in the summer this year, we are helping out an organization called Isaiah 117 House.
For those of you who may not be local to the Tri-Cities area here in Tennessee, Isaiah 117 was started a couple of years ago with the intent of being an intermittent home for children who maybe have been taken into custody or in care of DCS, but they're waiting on their foster placement. Maybe the foster parent had a meeting they couldn't miss that afternoon, and it was going to be a couple of hours, a half a day, whatever, before they were able to be taken to their foster home. And so this home they've started is just kind of that in-between place. They're able to get a bath, get a shower if they need it, get fresh clothes. Lots of organizations, a friend of mine who actually is a consultant with another company, does like a backpack drive each year, and just to donate backpacks to this organization so that they can, while that kid's there waiting, they've got games, they've got puzzles, they've got educational things, they've got snacks, they've got places for them to rest. Maybe they've been at the ER all night with their caseworker, who knows? Like they've got a place for them to be comfortable. And then they always give them a backpack with a change of clothes, a change of pajamas. Sometimes it may be even a couple of days before they're able to find a placement. So this Isaiah 117 House is a really great nonprofit group that works with DCS, works with the foster care agencies in order to give children a comfortable place to be instead of just sitting in an office somewhere.
So what the Smoky Mountain Ghostbusters are going to be doing with this is we're actually trying to gather up some of these items that they need, like, you know, underwear, socks, cleaning supplies for the house, or even monetary donations. So what we're going to be doing here on the Boo My Dad Says podcast is, you know, you've heard me talk about the Buy Me a Coffee site. So any donations that we can get on the buymeacoffee.com/boomydadsays for the month of July, tell you what, even for the month of July and August, we will take that money and either buy items that we can give to Isaiah House through the Smoky Mountain Ghostbusters, or even donate the money outright if they would prefer that. to buy the items. But for the month,
definitely,
of,
and we can keep, and we'll definitely keep you guys posted with how many coffees are bought. What's today? Today's Wednesday. Is when our episode drops. And so, I don't know, maybe we'll may even have a challenge or something. We might have some Boo My Dad merch coming your way. Some fun things that we can do and say for each coffee you're going to get whatever. Because we definitely appreciate your support for this, because it is it's a cause that's near and dear to our hearts as we're beginning to become foster parents ourselves. So
that's right. Any donation, if you go to buymeacoffee.com/boomydadsays for the rest of this month and the month of August, we will take that money and either buy the items ourselves.
100% of it will go towards Isaiah 117.
We'll go towards this charity, either with the Smoky Mountain Ghostbusters to help them buy the items to take, or go directly send the money to Isaiah House.
Awesome. We're excited. It's going to be a good one because it's such a neat opportunity. It started in Tennessee. We're actually in a couple different states now.
Because I think it's in Indiana and maybe in Georgia now too.
It's growing, and it's a really great organization for sure. So Birdcage Theater.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the history there, dear.
All right. So of course, last week you heard the whole history of Tombstone, Arizona, as far as the town itself. Well, the Birdcage Theater was open from, it was kind of open intermittently in between. There was times it was closed, times it was open, but predominantly between 1881 to 1894. And then when all the silver mines closed, the theater also closed in 1892. And so before all of that, at some point after that, it was leased, and it actually opened up as a coffee shop starting in 1934. But the Birdcage Theater originally opened on December 26th. It was owned by Lottie and Billy Hutchinson. And Hutchinson was actually a variety performer who was originally, he intended to present, intentions are always, you know, best of intentions. He intended to present respectable family shows like he had seen in San Francisco that were thronged by large crowds. But after the theater actually did open, they hosted a ladies' night for the respectable women of Tombstone who could attend for free. But the economics of Tombstone did not support their aspirations. And they soon canceled that ladies' night, and they began offering slightly more scandalous, I suppose, entertainment to that rough mining crowd. The respectable ladies, the respectable families did not necessarily want to support this business.
Well, when your primary group of people is a bunch of, you know, miners who probably aren't married.
So they realized that this was not going to be a financial.
There was like 128 bars in
gain.
Tombstone?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So, a whole lot.
What do you expect, right?
So when they started changing some of their offerings of their acts that they would have come in, one of the very first acts that the Birdcage brought to them was Mademoiselle de Granville, who was Alma Hayes, was her actual name. But she was known as the female Hercules and the woman with the iron jaw. She performed feats of strength, specializing in picking up heavy objects with her teeth, which I'm just going to stop there for a second because that hurts my face just thinking about that. My teeth are super sensitive, and so anything like that like just sounds terrible.
Yeah, you give her something cold and it's like,
I mean, like I would prefer just like room temperature water, like cold things. And anyway, that is neither here nor there. But yes, so like, but she apparently had a very strong jaw. She must have drank her milk and, I don't know, broccoli's high in calcium too. And kale, maybe she was a very ambitious kale eater. That's what it was. But anyhow, she picked up all this stuff with her teeth. Other acts included the Irish comic duo Burns and Trayers, which was John H. Burns and Matthew Trayers. Then they also had a comic singer, which I don't really even understand what that means.
You mean Ray Stevens was back then?
Apparently Ray Stevens and maybe Tim Hawkins. He makes some funny songs too. Carrie Delmar, a serious opera singer, and a comedian, Nola Forrest. Other entertainment included masquerade balls featuring cross-dressing entertainers. So even back then, that was a thing. Comedians like David Waters and Will Curlew. Miners could dance.
I wonder what comedians actually talked about back in the 1800s.
I guess about mining and horse life and cowboys. I don't know. Miners could drink and dance.
I just rode in on my horse, and boy, is my butt tired.
Apparently. Miners could drink and dance all night if they chose to. The longest poker game in history was played in the basement of the theater. Those who wished to play had to buy in for $1,000 up front. Among the notable people who played in this particular game were George Hurst, Diamond Jim Brady, Adolphus Bush, Doc Holliday, Bat Masterson, and Wyatt Earp. Perhaps surprisingly, Buffalo Bill Cody was not present at the game. The game, this poker game, was played continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It continued from 1881 to 1889 for a total of 8 years. It was estimated that approximately $10 million was exchanged in the game during the 8 years that it lasted, and that the birdcage retained 10% of that money. So they walked away with a cool $1 million just for hosting this game.
That is a lot of money for the 1800s.
That's a boatload of money. In March of 1882, miners in the Grand Central Mine hit water at 620 feet. The flow wasn't, at first, very large enough to stop work, but constant pumping with a 4-inch pump was soon insufficient. The silver ore deposits they sought were soon underwater. Hutchinson sold the birdcage to Hugh McCrum and John Strauff.
So did Hutchinson sell the birdcage because of the water and the...
You know, I didn't actually give a whole lot of the information as far as that.
In context of what you read, it sounds like that was the idea. Is like because they couldn't get to the silver, that maybe...
He thought business would dry up, and so he was kind of pulling out before, because it had only been opened a year when that happened with the water. The large Cornish engines brought by the mine owners kept the water pumped out of the mines for a few more years, but on May 26, 1886, the Grand Central Mine hoist and pumping plant burned. When the price of silver slid to 90 cents an ounce a few minutes later, the remaining mines laid off their workers.
A few minutes later?
What did I say?
You said minutes.
Sorry, yeah. Months. A few months later, the remaining...
Like, man, that's almost as volatile as Bitcoin is right now.
I don't know about that, but anyway, or lumber, the price of lumber. The remaining mines laid off their workers after a few months.
Yeah, I want to cut down a few trees and make some 2x4s, and then I'll have
sell
the boys...
Sell them for $1,000 a piece.
The boys' college fund right there.
There you go. Many residents of Tombstone left at that point, and the Birdcage Theater closed in 1892. And of course, the theater is reported to be haunted, which is why we're going to talk about next. It was featured in the paranormal investigation shows Ghost Hunters in 2006, Ghost Adventures in 2009,
hey,
in 2015, and Ghost Lab in 2009. And then Fact or Fake Paranormal Files in 2011. So this Birdcage Theater is has been around for a while, obviously, and it has definitely seen its share of paranormal investigators.
I think some of the reasons why that this place is so haunted, I'm going to start with like one of the murders. It was actually considered Tombstone's grisliest murder that took place in the town. And it was the grisliest murder at Birdcage Theater involved two madams.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, nothing like a cat fight.
Were they fighting over each other or were they fighting over men?
Well, it was actually kind of over a man. One of the madams was named Little Gertie the Gold Dollar.
The Gold Dollar, dear.
And she was employed at Crystal Palace, and that was a rival brothel. Margarita was her competed painted lady and the Belle of the Birdcage.
The Belle of the Birdcage.
The Belle of the Birdcage. In 1882, Billy Milgreen was caught entertaining the tall, dark, and willowy Margarita. Milgreen was a regular of Gold Dollar, Margarita's competitor. So some even allege that Milgreen was Gold Dollar's live-in lover.
Dear. These names. I'm sorry. I'm just getting hung up on the names. I need a graph or like a chart or something with their names printed out because it's hard to figure out what you're talking about.
Margarita wasn't afraid of Gold Dollar despite Gold Dollar's reputation as a gutsy, gritty woman. Perhaps it was because of Gold Dollar's size. Gold Dollar was known as Little Gertie due to her Pettiness.
She's awful petty. Yeah.
So did Margarita underestimate her rival of ill repute?
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes when you're little, you can be a lot feistier than some of these big girls.
Isn't there a song called I'm Little But I'm Loud?
Maybe.
Gold Dollar didn't attack Margarita until she crawled into Milgreen's lap. Gold Dollar felt slighted, thinking that Margarita had stolen her tried and true customer.
You done stole my man.
You know what you just sounded like?
I don't know. There ain't no telling.
You sounded like the one of the ladies in the Blazing Fury at Dollywood.
Oh, come here. Get over here.
Yeah.
I'm really a voice actor. Anyways.
So, grabbing a handful of Margarita's hair, Gold Dollar stabbed her with the double-edged stiletto stashed in her garter.
Turns out stiletto is a type of knife, also a shoe.
See, I've thought that was weird until I was reading the context of it. When I heard stiletto, I naturally was thinking the high heel shoe.
Them kind of ladies of the night.
And I'm sitting here thinking
that's
like,
what they is.
So in my mind, I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, this is pretty cool because she somehow hit a blade somehow in a high heel shoe that she took the shoe off and just started hacking at her.
Oh, wow. So, okay, these stiletto knives, they are famous for their elegance and their uniqueness. And they have a double-edged blade. And the groove in
double-edged blade?
Blade. They have a double-edged blade, but this groove is known as the blood groove. You're supposed to, these things are super sharp, super crazy. They are switchblade. There's a switchblade variety. There's a folding variety, a switchblade, or the Milano, which I guess is just a straight blade. Like, it's more like a dagger, it looks
like.
Now,
you know the purpose of the blood groove, right?
To gut you? I don't know.
What it is, like, if you get stabbed with a knife, it's not as easy to pull out as you think it would be.
Oh, it gives you some...
So that blood groove...
Breaks the suction.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Now, and even today, there are only a few states you can get these in. They're banned in several states of the United States. You can get a stiletto knife if you have a valid license. Just make sure if you're going to go buy a knife, just make sure that there's no laws in your state that are against it.
So there's gun laws and knife laws and
stiletto laws.
Ugh. So
there you go. So she was not stabbed with a shoe.
No.
She was stabbed with this little ladylike dagger.
Yes. So she started hacking away at Margarita's heart. And in some cases, she actually cut her heart out of her chest, is
ew.
From what I had seen in some places.
That's gross.
Well, you know, as they say, hell hath no fury than a woman scorned.
And a hooker scorned.
Well, even hookers have feelings, dear.
Oh, my bad. My bad. If you're a hooker out there listening, I'm so sorry. We're not hating on you.
It was a macabre moment. Too morbid for Gold Dollar to stick around. So in other words, she probably regretted it immediately after she did it. She fled the scene as soon as the marshal arrived. Little Gertie the Gold Dollar was eventually apprehended, yet was discovered without a weapon. Curiously, no charges were filed. What?
No, let me charges. Just carve your heart out, but you can go free. No worries.
It gets even better. If there was no murder weapon, there was no evidence.
Where
despite
was the stiletto?
Well, we'll get to that here in a minute. Despite escorts, eavesdroppers, and eyewitnesses saying that she killed Margarita.
Apparently, that was a place to be if you're going to get away with a murder.
I guess visitors allege to see the murdered madam today, catching glimpses of this scandalous specter. It is the naked woman that Nova Fleury, that's spelled F-L-E-U-R-Y. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce her last name, Fleury.
Fleur. It's like Fleur Delacour.
Yeah. So it's this naked woman that Nova Fleury found and wrote about. And this is what she wrote. I saw an apparition of a young woman who opened the curtain. She was between the ages of 18 and 20. She was leaning on the balustrade, and when she looked at the balustrade, she seemed to say that the place was unoccupied and there was no one in the alcoves. She was only wearing a bloomer, okay? So she kind of stood out.
Well, yeah, you see this naked chick with just wearing her drawers.
All right, so now you were asking about the stiletto.
Where'd the knife go? Yeah.
Gold dollar stiletto was discovered a century later behind the Birdcage Theater. You can find it there on display today, perhaps near Margarita's Poltergeist.
Oh.
Is gold dollar's residual energy attached to the relic? It doesn't really say much more than that. But we've talked about like residual energy as items, you know, that have been in traumatic situations can, like, they record that energy and
they just hold on to it and can't let it go.
And then then from time to time, if the situations are just right, they will replay certain scenarios. Now, there is also a ghostly woman in white. Well, what haunted location is there without
the woman in white?
Woman in white or the woman in gray or
woman in red.
Or a woman in red, I guess.
Lady in purple.
But the Birdcage Theater's most peculiar poltergeist is the woman in white. And basically it's because this apparition is said to be a proper lady, which is a rarity for
a
brothel.
Not a lady of the night.
Yeah, exactly. So she is very out of place in comparison to some of the other spirits that have been seen at the Birdcage.
She had on more than just her bloomers, apparently.
Almost everyone who works here has had an experience of some kind with a lady in white. I've seen her. She came down the stairwell into the poker room. She wore a white dress and a white bonnet. She stood in front of me for a very long time without reacting to my presence at all. It's like she didn't even know I was there. And that's what one of the employees had said. She's what they call a residual haunt, from what some people are thinking. And the reason they think she's a proper lady is because a bonnet indicates that she was a proper lady, and no proper ladies ever came in there. Most of us who work here think she came in with the hearse and is now trapped here.
So in with the hearse?
Yeah, that could have, maybe if somebody had died there and maybe... I don't know.
She got off the bus and didn't get back on?
Yeah, that's about the best way you can put it.
Interesting.
Yes, very. Cody Paulstone of Haunted Tombstone believes that this is a woman named Michelle, an apparition who appeared in a photo taken by Donovan's Ghost Patrol in 2006. The image depicts a woman descending a staircase, gripping the hem of her dress tightly in her hand. Does Michelle lurk about looking for Tombstone's ladies' nights is what we're wondering.
Well, and how in the world did they decide that she fell off the hearse if they don't even, I mean, how do they know what her name is?
I don't know. I mean,
is this just what they're going to call her? Or,
you know, psychics and stuff can sometimes discern that stuff through when they make contact. There are items called spirit boxes that investigators use, and if that ghost comes through and they make communication, sometimes they will give their name.
There you go.
Another spirit that is seen quite often is the figure of a male stagehand that appears wearing the black striped pants,
like Beetlejuice pants.
Well, maybe Beetlejuice.
Yeah, but there's some paranormal.
Yeah. It says he's wearing these black striped pants, a visor, and holding a clipboard as he walks across the stage, the Birdcage.
He sounds like a poker dude.
Yeah, the visor would make you think that he was like a poker dealer or something. Other occurrences include the sounds of raucous laughter. Or is that raucous?
Raucous.
Raucous laughter.
Raucous.
Raucous. Yeah. I know you guys get a kick out of me mispronouncing words.
It's all right. Some words are tricky.
So other occurrences include the sound of raucous laughter and music pouring from the old theater's doors at night. Others report hearing the faint sounds of a woman singing, and the museum's sound system has inexplicably turned on its own accord and then blaring old-time music. Others have reported strange sounds coming from the main floor's balconies and the sharp scents of cigar smoke and whiskey. After closing time, the staff have reported hearing the sounds of clinking glasses and cards shuffling.
Hmm.
Which I wouldn't be surprised. You play a poker game for over 8 years, that's going to store up some energy.
It might be.
That would definitely be some kind of residual energy there, I would think. Some of the haunting reports date back to 1921 when a school was built across the street and students began to report the sounds of laughter and music coming from the abandoned building as well as the smell of the cigar smoke. Then, over the years, the Hunley family staff and visitors alike have experienced several strange events. One of the fascinating tales is how a dice table, which weighed several hundred pounds, mysteriously moved the night before. When staff arrived the next morning, the table had been moved in front of a door with a sign that read, "Don't disturb our 26 resident ghosts."
That seems a little suspicious.
The table is so heavy that it reportedly took 8 men to move it back to its former position.
Allegedly. Reportedly.
Another story tells how a statue of Wyatt Earp that was made and placed in one of the cribs overlooking the theater. Now, one of the things that Becca didn't talk about in the history, it was why it was called the Birdcage.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. My research apparently didn't have that. I'm so sorry.
The Slacker Birdcage
right here. I'm going to be fired.
The Birdcage was named for its 14 small cribs hanging from the ceiling that once housed painted ladies.
Bunch of naked women.
Dressed as finely feathered birds.
Okay, this is disgusting. This is not a family-friendly episode, apparently. We got people in their bloomers, naked women hanging in a birdcage.
All right. Now,
well, you said it. This is your episode. Yeah.
Well, there is certainly a lot of ghosties here, though. I'll say that. I mean, the majority of this episode has definitely been about the spirits. So back to the story. Another story tells of a statue of Wyatt Earp that was made and placed in one of the cribs overlooking the theater. When it was first placed there, staff would arrive in the morning to find Wyatt's hat continually knocked off and thrown into the floor below. This occurred over and over for about 6 months. On one occasion, staff arrived to find the statue was turned around with its back facing the view from below. Sometime later, a local historian told the Hunleys that they had placed the Wyatt Earp statue in the crib that was usually reserved for the Clantons. Now, if you remember, the Clantons was the group of baddies that the Wyatt Earp boys and Doc Holliday had to fight at the OK Corral. So they some bad blood there, some bad juju. So they had Wyatt Earp's statue in the wrong location. So when the statue was moved to the crib that Wyatt actually frequented, then the hat tossing finally stopped.
Let this be a lesson. Don't go to places where there's naked people. And then you won't have to worry about your statue getting moved and their hat being twirled and all of this.
Exactly. On another occasion, a valuable antique poker chip, which had been missing for years, suddenly reappeared on the poker table. Upon finding it there, it was locked away in a safe until historians could authenticate it. However, when the historians arrived, they were disappointed to find that the chip had suddenly gone missing again. Only after they left did it reappear in a locked desk drawer.
Somebody's messing with somebody there.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Well, dear, I think that is pretty much everything that we need to talk about with the Birdcage today.
All right. Well, we made it through and only minimal nakedness. And
I think we kept it fairly PG rated.
Except all these people jumping in lap and just running around in their bloomers. But whatevs. We can't all be princesses. Some of these folks have to be the ladies of the night.
Well, as they say, it is the oldest profession there is.
That's true. Although I'll say, when you're talking about the statue of Wyatt Earp moving around, that sounds like, you know, I'll be some biblical history here. When the Ark of the Covenant was brought back and like the statue, the idol of Dagon was, you know, first he was face down, then he was face down without his hands and his head and, you know, all these weird things happening. But that was God's power. I don't know that that was a ghost's power. Actually, I know that that was not a ghost power.
Well, folks, I hope you all have enjoyed the episode. Now, we decided that we're going to start moving our social media stuff to the end of the episode so we can get you to the stories a lot quicker.
Yeah, but if you are on Facebook, you can find us on our page, the Boo My Dad Says Facebook page. If you want to interact with our group, we're going to start trying to ramp up our social media presence just a little bit and have a few contests and whatever and things, fun things to do on our group page. So if you like us on our page, go ahead and hit up our group page as well. And you can always reach out and DM us on there, comment, be engaged. We'd love to build this little community into a, you know, into a pretty active little group.
And I'm going to tell you that every once in a while, there will be some really awesome prizes on these contests. Can't do it for every one of them, obviously, but we may have a few contests where
we sell your kidney.
There may be a few contests where you will get to accompany me on a ghost hunt with, usually I go with a group called SRS Paranormal, and Boo My Dad Says will cover your cost to attend the hunt. Now, I'm not going to pay airfare or anything like that. So
if you're local-ish.
Yeah. If you're local-ish, you know, within a couple hour drive, you will certainly get to go with us on one of the ghost hunts.
That'd be fun because John's very sad that I don't like to go on ghost hunts because I think sleep is important and I would have nightmares.
Yeah, it does make me a little sad, but I do enjoy it when Brady goes.
Well, at least somebody's living up to expectations.
Which we actually have a ghost hunt coming up here at the end of this month. I'm going to be doing the Sycamore Shoals site in Elizabethton, Tennessee, with SRS, and that's going to be a good one because this will be the first time that they've actually had a ghost hunt done there, a public hunt. Hmm. Also, continuing with social media, we are also on Instagram, and you can also catch us on Twitter, and you can find us on boomydadsays.com.
Yep, and you can email us at john@boomydadsays.com, and feel free to share any stories, give any suggestions. I had a history, he was my math teacher and chemistry teacher and physics teacher, but he would say, all right, questions, comments, snide remarks. So if you've got something you want to share with us or something you think we can do to make it better, let us know. We are open to comments and helpful suggestions. Now, if you're a jerk, I'll probably be a jerk back, but you know, we'll take that into consideration.
Or you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. A 5-star review and a rating will really help us come up in the search algorithms so that we are more present to be seen on
the other listeners the can find list. Us. Yeah.
Yes. Because I'll be honest with you guys, I would love to be able to do this podcasting full time.
Yes, he would. And he is very sad. We need our resident host here to be happy. The hosty ghosty.
If you would like to sponsor our show.
To give us all your money.
If you would like to sponsor our show, we do, as we said earlier, we have the buymeacoffee.com that we're going to be doing. The 100% of the proceeds is going to go to the Isaiah 117 house for the month of July and August. But we also have a Patreon page where you can sign up as a member there. And I put all of our episodes up early on Patreon from almost a lot of times 1 to 2 days early. And they have no commercials. They are commercial free, guys. So you don't have to hear us hawking coffee or talking about the coffee.
We'll side note here, and we may talk about maybe a little more next week. I've only opened one of the packages because I actually have 2 bags of coffee already open. Plus, I opened my Bones coffee that finally came this week, and I tasted the Shark Bite. Y'all, let me just tell you, the Shark Bite is like a buttered rum, spiced coffee kind of a thing. It's pretty tasty.
For you coffee purists out there, you're not going
to
like it.
You coffee purists just need to get over yourselves and don't be a snob. but whatever. Anyhow, so I do enjoy just regular coffee, but sometimes it's nice because I don't do flavored creamers. I do I do draw the line with that, but this allows you to like experience those different flavors without some of the junk in the creamers. We're not like total health nuts. I'm becoming more hippie-ish in my food and beverage consumption just because like there's a lot of research showing a lot of junk in our food. And so like I myself have stepped away from flavored creamers. So getting the coffees roasted with the flavors, like, I don't know, maybe it's the same, but it feels better in my mind because then I can just use my half and half and I'm not just killing it with the creamer taste or whatever. But if you love creamer, that's fine too. But this coffee is pretty tasty. So I ended up with Shark Bite and I ended up with a French Vanilla, which that's not normally my jam, but I thought I'd try it and see. And then I got three more flavors that are escaping me at the moment. But anyway, I'll post about them. And I actually snagged an extra bag of Shark Bite. So that might be a prize for somebody on one of our, one of our things. And so it's like a 4 ounce bag. I don't know. Like you can get several pots of coffee out of this. Like it's called their sample bag, whatever. But anyway, the Bones coffee is pretty tasty if you like flavored coffees and it's just fun and they send you a sticker and all that good stuff. So
every bag looks like a Grateful Dead album.
It really does. The artwork on their bags is pretty neat.
It's actually perfect for a paranormal podcast. I think what we may do is we'll take some pictures of the bags and we'll put them up on our Facebook and Instagram so you can actually see what they look like.
They're fun.
All right, dear. I guess it's time for us to hit the road because you guys have VBS tonight.
We have, yeah. It's going to be a busy week. I was a bozo and... Since we're talking about ourselves at the end and not at the beginning now, the boys both have flag football camp from like 9 to 12. And then we have art camp from 1 to 3:30. Then we have Bible school from like 5 to 8:45. Because like Brady and I both were, he's aged out of our Bible school program, but the youth get to be helpers. And so he's a helper this year. So he and I have to be there early and Matthew just has to go hang out because we're already going to be in town. But anyway, and we have like our last two classes for fostering this week. We have a CPR skills test tomorrow. And well, we had that on Monday, I guess I should say. And then we have one more meeting and then we're going to start our home study process. So we're excited about that, but it's going to be a crazy week. And my kitchen table is being delivered on Saturday. I'm so excited about that. I can't.
This year, I'm not going to be as active with VBS. Normally, I've helped out every year. For as long as I can remember, but I think towards the end of the week, I am going to go help with the soundboard.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of weird not actually.
Well, you know what they say when you're like, if you're discouraged or down or bummed out about something, they always just tell you to like find a place to plug in and serve somebody and help somebody. And it kind of makes you forget about your own crap. So I'm going to stay busy this week. Woo woo.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to hit the road, but we hope y'all have a wonderful week. And you know that we love y'all and just thank you so much for our listens.
Absolutely. And we couldn't do what we do without you. And we're hoping to grow. And like I said, give us some feedback. Let us know what we need to do better. What you're like, gosh, you guys suck at that. Like, tell us about it.
And tentatively, our next episode, we are going to have a special guest host.
If we can work all the logistics out.
If we can work all the logistics out. And let me tell you, this guy, he is a hoot.
He's a mess.
He is a hot mess.
He will fit right in on this show.
Will fit in. And who knows? He may actually end up being a...
When I get fired, he might take over for me.
An additional host.
I'm getting real close.
From time to
time. If I keep running my mouth, I'm going to be in trouble. Because I just fly by the seat of my pants all the time, so...
All right. Well, guys, we'll see y'all next week. Good night.
Toodaloo.
God bless.